What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys. Cap
Blessed Hall. Morning back at you, dog.
Cap'n Hall.
Eddie Olchek's in our studio here at Cap'n Hall.
Winnipeg's always been an NHL city, whether they've
Did
had
you like
team
living there?
Loved it. Oh, it gets a little chill, Will, there. I mean, we had seven...
Worse than here?
1996, the last year we were there. Middle of January to early February, we had 17 straight days where it was 40 below.
That was so cold.
Now, not a lot to do. When you go out... You got to plug your car in so it doesn't freeze.
Oh man, that's cold.
So you have your has to heat up the engine. So block heater, you plug it in. So you get out, you can start it. Grocery store for 10 minutes, whatever it is. It doesn't take a whole. You're outside for 15 seconds. Frostbite sets in.
It's so cold, you'd freeze it down in less than 2 minutes.
All I know is that some 9 months later, one young Nick Olchek was brought into this world.
So guess what? I'm pregnant.
Not a lot to do when it's there are a lot of things to do when it's 40 below for 17 straight days, but I think you kind of know where I'm going.
I have your pregnancy report here, and guess what? You got knocked up. What you won't do,
from the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago!
Wolchek scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome to Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. He is David Haw, lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune, back after a couple of days. Good to have you back, buddy. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Castell, our director. How are you, pal?
Good, Cap. Morning. How are you?
Good. Enjoy your couple days off.
Yes, did. Thank you to Mark Lazarus and Brooke Weisbrod. Last couple days did a great job filling in. And, today is a big day. Game one, Hawks, Predators.
Last game of the season for the Bulls, regular season.
Yep, the postseason begins. I think that when you have the Hawks and the Bulls both entertaining thoughts of going deep in the postseason, you realize it's going to be an exciting next 6 weeks. And the grind begins, and it's only a grind for in the context of his night after night after night. But it's fun. What fun time of year this is for Chicago sports fans. And I think the fact that Patrick Kane is back on the ice tonight and cleared, and I know there are limitations and there are concerns and there are all sorts of reasons why he may not be as effective as people expect. But just the fact that he is there 7 weeks – 7 weeks after having surgery to repair a broken collarbone, a guy who was playing at an MVP-type level when he went down. The fact that he's back tonight in Nashville for game one, if you're a Hawks fan, you can't help but be excited. So that's a lot to look at tonight from the hockey standpoint. You got the Bulls, who can clinch the third seed. If they beat the Hawks at home, be careful what you wish for.
Correct, because then you get the Cavs potentially in round two.
So what would you do? Would you start Cameron Bairstow and play,
No, I'd try to win the game.
You would?
I'm going to have to beat them anyway. It's not like they're paying me round by round.
You want to win the game because you get the Bucks in the first round and you can beat the Bucks easier than you can beat the Wizards, right?
Look, if I'm going to be the champ, I got to be the best team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them on.
Can you understand people who might think that you're better off slipping conveniently into the fourth seed?
No, that's a loser's mentality.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you truly believe that you can win the NBA title, almost at Stanley Cup.
Do you think you the Bulls should have realistic expectations that they can win the NBA title right now, this team?
I'm not saying that I think they will, but they should have those
expectations. Can this team win the East?
Yes.
Okay. So if you believe that this team can win the East, and I'm asking the questions. I'm not disagreeing with that, because I think if you're the Bulls and you're healthy, and they appear to be reasonably healthy by their standards, then you go all out to finish as high as you can. You play the Bucks. That's a nice warm-up. And you get the Cavs before they've gotten it all together in the third round of the playoffs. Because by the time they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's if you're still alive. The Cavs may have gotten it together and playing more in sync than they have. If they're going to fall apart...
They haven't over 82 games. Why do you think three playoff rounds will have them in sync?
The Cavs? They're pretty good, Cavs.
Very good team.
Pretty good.
But they're not... Kevin Love and LeBron, it's not the most harmonious of things.
No, it's not. They're not best of friends. I think Kevin Love said that. But if it, the only advantage that if you go deeper in the playoffs and you think, okay, well, we'll slip into four, we'll take our chances against the Hawks in the second round, and then hopefully be on a course to play the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, is that the Cavs might not be fully healthy by then. Maybe they have an injury. Maybe they have something that weakens them to that extent. But I think you're better off going all out, doing what's comes naturally to you. Also, you're playing for, I mean, it's a very small thing in the context of everything else that's at stake. Does it matter to you? I think it's impressive. The Bulls are on the verge of a 50-win season. They can do it again.
With having their starting lineup together for 22 games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that says something. I think at the beginning of the season, what did we predict? I think I predicted 52. You predicted 61. Didn't you predict 61 victories?
I don't think I went 61.
No. Where did you go?
I think I actually had them high 50s.
High 50s?
58, 59.
I mean, I think I was closer to mid-50s. I don't think either one of us anticipated Derrick Rose missing 6 weeks.
Right, with another knee surgery.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think that 50 victories for this team, given what it's endured, is pretty good. And it's a mark of consistency when an organization's made the playoffs 10 of the last 11 seasons, and I think it's the only team in the Eastern Conference to do that.
312-235-2525. So you get the Bulls' final game. You got the Blackhawks' opening playoff game at Nashville. You have Patrick Kane back.
Yes.
You got the Cubs closing out their series with the Reds.
Chris Bryant, watch continues.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a watch.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. I think there's always a watch until he's here.
Yeah,
you're watching. You're like looking around the corner. You're trying to see around the crane and the construction crew. Hey, is that number 17? Is he here yet? You always have is he here yet mentality.
But you know he's not going to be here.
I don't
today.
Know. But you want him here ASAP.
Yeah, Monday probably.
That's not ASAP. ASAP means let me spell out the acronym. As soon as possible.
That's Monday.
No, let's try that again. As soon as possible.
What's possible?
Would you tell me, Mr. Calendar, Cubby Calendar guy?
Sunday would be as soon as possible.
No, Saturday.
No.
Why not? First of all,
let me tell you.
First of all, start it out. Hold on. You said Friday was at the beginning of the season, the service time. 12 days minus this and plus this gives you April 17th. Now, April 17th, if that's Friday, if that's not going to be okay because you want to buy yourself a day in case, you know, the Cubs might go to a game 163.
What if there's a three-team playoff? Now there's two games. That's 164.
Oh, come on.
I'm protecting myself. I've gone to this length. You want to know what a Cubby occurrence is? There'll be a three-team playoff. They'll go, we better send Chris down. We need that day back. Oh, he's got 57 home runs and 109,000 RBIs.
Send him down for a random Tuesday in August. Send him down.
I'm bringing him up Monday night to play at Pittsburgh.
Because you're afraid of the Chicago media at Wrigley Field?
No.
Then why are you against playing him at Wrigley?
Well, the Chicago media is toothless.
Okay.
Toothless.
Okay, that's our next segment.
Pick up the New York or Philly papers. Now you want some vicious journalism.
What? Okay, go there. What do you mean toothless? In regard to Chris Bryant?
No, I'm saying just...
In regard to what?
I don't think that the media in this town is as tough as people make it out to be.
Well,
I think
what
we're
exactly,
a way cuddlier city than people give us.
What exactly would you want us, I guess, since this is an us versus them, since you're on the outside, Mr. By the way, did you work 16 or 17 hours yesterday not being a member of the media? Okay? I'm just asking. How many non-media jobs do you have?
None.
Mr. I'm not a member of the media.
I am a member of the media.
Okay, so own it.
I'm so part of it.
If you're saying we're toothless, examples.
People say that we are vicious. Oh, the media is just vicious. Not in this town, they're not.
Cap, okay, vicious is probably overstating it. But you say that if we criticize the Cubs for not bringing or question or scrutinize is the word, the Cubs for their decision process on Chris Bryant, that's ridiculous. That's a no-brainer.
There's a difference.
What's the difference?
Like if you pick up the back page of the Philly paper, I was at Philly doing a game this season. I'm like, wow, these guys are brutal.
Oh, I see. So in order to
I'm not saying it's right.
In order to gain your respect as for being a media.
I didn't say my respect.
Hold on. A media contingent with teeth, not toothless. You have to twist things out of context? Screaming bold headlines, tabloid style?
Yes.
Okay.
That's more the viciousness I'm talking about. Jay Mariotti was vicious.
Okay.
Not saying I liked him.
So you want Mariotti back?
No.
You want Mariotti back?
No. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying.
Let's get that on the crawl. Cap, colon, bring Mariotti back. Chicago media toothless. No.
I just don't think our media is as tough on our athletes as people want you to think.
Okay. I don't know who wants you to think that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not trying to, like, go out there that we are tough. I'm tough. Read that column tomorrow. It's going to be tough. It's going to tear people apart. You want to see the way I tore Mark Trestman apart? I was tough. No, big deal. You write what you think.
Mark Trestman would disagree with me. He would say
probably
they're
so.
Brutal.
Probably so. And so would his family. But I think that you don't try to be tough or toothless. You try to be fair.
Agreed.
Fair
I'm not
and firm.
Saying that the New York fair Post or the Philadelphia Inquirer are fair and firm all the time. They're just vicious.
Did you see the front page of the New York Post this morning? I'm sure you did.
I didn't yet. I have it in my iPad.
It's not the sports front, but the New York Post front. Brian Williams walking his dog. Lion Brian on a short leash. Okay, that's the headline.
Right, okay. That's vicious.
That's unfair.
I agree.
It's totally unfair.
I'm not saying it should be that way.
So when you take one step, we're getting way off course here, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
We're fair. Yeah, we'll be critical in this town, but we're pretty fair most of the time. Mark Trestman notwithstanding. Derek Rose's injuries
like,
at times
like this is
notwithstanding.
Okay, this is like terribly unfair. 702. David Haw takes a couple days off so he can go to his kid's graduation and not limp into meetings. Okay. That's unfair. That's funny. But not terribly fair.
But if you pick up New York Post, Philly Inquirer, even in Boston at times, you're like,
okay.
Jeez.
All right, Mr. Big Capple, what would you think that the appropriate response would be in New York to a general manager or a front office that would wait an extra day, 48 hours, to bring up the best player in their system just to avoid opening at home, or whatever reason. If Chris Bryant can be here Saturday, he should be here Saturday. Because I'll tell you what, last night, Aroldis Chapman against Michael, ninth inning, two runners on, one-run game. Was I the only guy watching? It crossed his head, crossed his mind, said, boy, I wonder what this would look like if Chris Bryant were at the plate. I wonder how this would end. If Chris Bryant were sitting there looking at a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. I don't want to sit there Saturday wondering the same thing. I don't want to sit there one batter later, one game later, one day later than necessary.
Agreed.
So if it's Saturday, ASAP, as soon as possible, bring him up Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to do it.
Because game 164 could matter.
It could. Okay. Game 164 will matter.
Oh, 6-3 Ohio's too sensitive. Yeah, probably. Probably. There are days that
good
like
to have
that.
You back.
Thank you.
MLB season full swing. FanDuel changing the way people play fantasy baseball. More fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Just like David says, ASAP. Sign up now. Play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. At FanDuel, you play for real money with immediate cash payouts. No season-long commitment. No upfront fees. Chicago's already hit it big playing fantasy baseball this season at FanDuel. Megan H. from Chicago. $3,112 opening day. How about that? Over three dimes. You have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the code Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, my last name. Sign up now. Special offer for new users. FanDuel matches your dollar deposit up to $200 dollar for dollar. It's a bonus of up to $200. Offer only good for the first 50 people right now. Use the code K-A-P-L-A-N. Don't forget, use that code Kaplan, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season, FanDuel.com.
Hey, Cap, what's wrong with this picture in Chicago sports this week?
Make this my ringtone, Mike.
When Chris Bryant is not in Chicago, but Jameis Winston is.
How about that?
How about that? We could talk about
famous
that after the break.
Jameis is in town. Came in last night.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Cubs and White Sox both back to work. Sox looking for their fourth straight. Got through a shaky but okay outing from Jose Quintana.
They're hot.
They got it done. Bullpen was good last night. We'll talk about that. We'll get to your calls. We'd like you to be participatory. We're only here till 10:30 today because we have White Sox baseball right here on CS and Sox and Indians to close out that series. 312-235-2525. It's Kaplan Hall.
back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
You know, it's been a long 50 days here. So, you know, it's a credit to a lot of hard work from obviously the doctors and the trainers and just listening to them and, you know, trying to heal as fast as possible.
That's Patrick Kane. We'll all be excited tonight and get ready to watch the game at 7:30.
Yeah, you know, that's exciting to hear him talking about playing. It's exciting to kind of pencil him into the lineup. Interesting to hear him talk about the several different methods of recovery that were used or tried or experimental. They're all different ways technology has improved the recovery time and the rehabilitation process, and I found myself kind of curious as to what those were with Patrick Kane. They did not elaborate, certainly, but whatever they did worked. And you had, he said it was a long 50 days, and I'm sure that at times it felt that way. Certainly the Hawks struggled during some of those days offensively, but boy, Cap, 50 days flew by.
It did.
Because, you know, it seems like when he went down on February 24th, had you said on February 25th, when we were on this program, about what that meant for the Hawks, he said, well, he's going to be back game one of the Western Conference playoffs against the Predators. You'd have thought, no way
no shot.
Possible.
No shot. They were talking about conference finals maybe.
Yeah. And there was some reservation and some hesitancy in the tone because you didn't know how quick of a healer he would be. In the past, he's been a very quick healer, and I think just this says a lot about the mentality of a hockey player, probably Patrick Kane's just, he has DNA. I mean, I think that some people are just quicker healers than others. So I don't think people should expect to see Patrick Kane with the cape like he was at the NHL All-Star game. You know, this is not Clark Kent changing in a phone booth going to come and save the day. Doesn't need to be a savior. That's been established. Just get on the ice. Avoid the hits like he has been since he was 8 or 9 years old. That was funny when he said that. And be a threat. He's an implied threat every time he's on that second line because they have to account for him. He does things and sees things that other players don't see or do. I am very curious. I found very curious, and I know you guys probably talked about it with Laz and with Eddie O yesterday, certainly, and thanks for Eddie coming in studio.
He was great.
But the Vermette decision is a baffling one, and I don't know if it is one of these things we're going to be talking about for a while. For a little bit, Joel Quenneville certainly has earned the benefit of the doubt. And do you remember, was it 2 years ago when they won the Cup, the playoffs began with the big decision to sit Victor Stahlberg?
Correct.
Remember that?
Yep.
Was it punitive? Was it just send a message? Whatever it was like, how can you do this? And you're going to go for the experience. And it was the right call. I don't know about this one
yet. Do you think that there's a chance Vermette's in the lineup tonight?
No.
Really?
I think they tipped his hand. I think he tipped his hand. Where are you going to put him? Because, look, I think that you feel very good about
him. I think he gets Nordstrom's spot.
I don't. I think they like Nordstrom in the penalty kill. I think that he's also a guy that has been I don't see that. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. You think that they're going to go with
Vermette? I think he sent a message at practice.
Well, this is why you got Vermette in the trade, and you didn't give up something insignificant to get him. Is this a message to send to him that there's a different, you know, level, a different pace?
Hold on, we got breaking news.
Okay.
Aaron Hernandez has been convicted, guilty of murder in the first degree. Could be punishable by life or death. Guilty of murder in the first degree.
After 5 days of deliberation, that is a little surprising. You started to wonder.
Judge just said life in prison, no possibility of parole. So he is effectively done for the rest of his life.
So that would mean in the NFL, Bill Belichick injury report, he's questionable.
God, this is just unbelievable.
It's sad. And anybody following that from afar, Cap, I mean, wouldn't be surprised. I think they were only surprised that it took this many days of deliberation to come to that conclusion. Would you agree?
Yeah, agreed. It's found guilty in the first degree due to extreme atrocity and cruelty. He will go to prison for life. No possibility of parole.
Interesting.
So he's done.
He's done. And even if he had been acquitted, there were two more murder charges against him, weren't there, that he would have had to have faced.
Yeah, and I think he'll still undergo, still hold, stand trial for those, I would think.
And it doesn't, they need justice as well. But I don't think it was a case of, so people that were wondering, well, if he would have been acquitted, would he have walked out of, you know, prison and into minicamp? No, that wasn't going to happen, and it's certainly not going to happen now. So, yeah, he's guilty.
Say goodnight to the bad guy, as they said in Scarface. Breaking news. All right, so you've got that.
We'll get back to this Blackhawk discussion, because I think we want to look at what you're suggesting is that this could be just a practice decision, but I don't think that Quenneville goes back. I think he's going to stick with the lineup that does not include Vermette.
All right. 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at ABT. Apt Electronics in Glenview. Check them out on the web at aptabt.com. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro when you head into the store. 312-235-2525. This is Cap and Hall, only here till 10:30 because of White Sox baseball. We'll be right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Well, they got off to a great start this year, and they've been a very consistent team all year long. They're, I'm sure they're excited about getting in the playoffs. That's a tremendous defense, a strong goaltending, their strengths. The young kid come in, had a special year for them as well. So they've got some good assets, different assets than we've seen up front in the last few years. A little deeper offensively.
There's Coach Q. We'll all be in front of our TVs and radios tonight. Blackhawks and Preds in Nash Vegas.
So
Captain Hawk continues.
Let me explain, getting some text line reaction and stuff, and we'll get to phone calls in a second. So it's okay to question Joel Quenneville because he juggles the line so often that we're just reacting to his juggling. I'm surprised Antoine Vermette is not in the lineup for game one as it stands right now, because I thought that was what the trade was all about. Now, Joel Quenneville didn't make the trade. That's Stan Bowman's job. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is indicative of how veterans, young players, whoever, have a bit of an adjustment period to play for the Blackhawks and Joel Quenneville, whatever, for whatever reason. But it's Q's way.
It is.
It works. It definitely works. So you're looking at the top line cap of Hossa, Saad, and Toews. The PBJ line of or PBK line of Kane, Richards, and Versteeg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is, then the third line gives you Sharp, pretty good third liner, Bickle, Andrew Shaw.
Yep.
Then you have Nordstrom, Toews, who I'm very excited to see in postseason, and fourth line, Kruger, of course, Marcus Kruger. You could theoretically play Vermette and bump Shaw down to play forward on the fourth line. They give you a very aggressive, physical checking line and put Vermette at the center of Sharp and Bickle.
Could do that.
You could do it a couple different ways.
You could just drop Vermette into Nordstrom's spot.
You could do that too, but I don't know if that's as good of a fit, because the whole thing after Vermette came, what did we make a big deal about at the time? Shaw's better when he's not playing center.
Correct.
He can be himself. He can be what the irritant that he is paid so well
to
be.
Don't forget that Vermette was also a very good penalty killer in Arizona.
That's a good point. That's what I can't figure out. I think that Nordstrom has value to the Hawks, and he's been very good replacing Ben Smith on the PK. No doubt about that. But I think that in the playoffs, veterans tend to be the guys that you want to trust. And even though Nordstrom has experience, I would shake it up a little bit. Desjardins has played very well, too.
Edzo said yesterday, Desjardins has been the biggest trade deadline pickup of the three.
So I think you have another factor there. It's a nice problem to have.
But if that's the case into the playoffs, that you got nothing out of Kimmo Tiimonen, you got nothing out of Antoine Vermette, and a little bit out of Desjardins, then they really didn't do much.
That means Stan Bowman's back in your crosshairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hold on there, though. Just be patient. Haven't even played a minute, haven't even played a shift.
No, I'm saying maybe they'll get more out of these guys than they have. But to this point?
To this point.
Hasn't been good.
Disappointment, probably. I would agree with that. But would you have been more disappointed had they done nothing?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question.
You've got to roll the dice for a team that is what? Built to win now.
Right, and then the window
closes. This is cup or bust time.
A bit.
Tonight, when they drop the puck, and all those Blackhawk fans are filling in Bridgestone Arena everywhere.
Do you know I went online while you were gone? While we were on the air. I would think, was I with Brooke or with Laz? I think I was with Laz. I went online and I could buy seats like at the red line, a little almost to the dot in the face-off circle for $149, lower level.
Nice.
Until I put my zip code in and then they, sorry, you're from Chicago, you're evil.
They've really tried too hard there. That's a bad look for the franchise. But when they drop the puck tonight, Cap, it begins the cup or bust postseason for the Blackhawks.
No question about
Everybody
it.
Realizes what's going on here. So
Is it a championship or bust for the Bulls?
No. I mean, you could
put it. They're certainly built to win.
You can put it in that context if you want. I mean, I don't know that they're going to be in the dismantle mode that the Hawks will be in come July. They're not going to be saying, you know, they could be if they choose that route. They could be replacing a coach still. We haven't resolved that controversy. They don't have the roster conundrum that the Hawks have. I think when you look at the Hawks' reality, you can safely say cup or bust because we've seen that movie before.
And they've already won.
They've won twice.
Correct.
But we've seen that before. With the Bulls, you could say it, but you're just trying to be drama king if you do. You're overstating it. Because I don't know that people look at the Bulls as a title's favorite, whereas the Blackhawks, as I sit here right now, I know you have a different viewpoint perhaps than other people do, but I think you could make a reasonable statement and back it up that the Hawks are the favorite in the West. And then if they get to the Stanley Cup final against the Rangers perhaps, I'm picking Caps and Hawks.
Caps and Hawks.
Caps and Hawks.
Wow. Hawks and Bigs.
I'm not thinking Bigs. I mean, that would be a fun byproduct of having the Caps and the Hawks because Bigs is Mr. Capman.
He is.
Well, he's with a C. You are the Capman with a K.
He is Mr. Caps.
Yeah. I think that would be a fun series. But the Rangers are still the team to beat. But if you look at Hawks and Rangers, wow. Chicago, New York, Boomer versus Cap. That would be a great final.
Wow.
So many things could happen
look,
in the West.
You know I'm all in on the Blackhawks bandwagon, not just with my heart, with my money. I've got tickets. I got season tickets. I hate to say this. I don't believe they're winning the cup. I don't believe they're getting to the finals. I believe the St. Louis Blues are coming out of the West.
You sound like my son. He picked the Blues yesterday. He's 14. Thinks he knows hockey. I think that's a good choice. I would not pick the Blues if there's another team coming out of the West. To me, it would be the Ducks.
The Ducks are going out in round one.
Yeah, did you pick the Jets?
The Winnipeg Jets.
I got some email from somebody who said you did that yesterday on the show.
Winnipeg.
Was that your pick to click?
Winnipeg's taking them out. And I have Ottawa upsetting Montreal.
I don't know what you're seeing there. I know Ottawa's hot, but have you seen
Price? You ever heard of the Hamburglar?
Ever heard of Carey Price?
He's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He is.
You ever watch the Olympics? I mean, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that.
So wait, so tell me, okay, since I've established I have Hawks versus Caps, I think the Hawks can.
Blues Rangers.
If it makes you sound like an idiot, I'll sound like an idiot. I think that they could actually flip a switch or that, you know, they'll, you know, if you want to call it whatever, but I think that they can –
Don't tell that to Rosenblum.
Well, I know. It makes me hockey stupid. But the Hawks, doesn't matter. When I say that, I'm disregarding the final week of the season. Because I'm saying that the return of Kane will help you cure or address some of your offensive concerns. They understand the need to be consistent. The defensive pairings concern me more than the offensive issues. And I think they're good enough to get it together because of their experience and the urgency that exists with this roster to win the West.
All right. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm saying the Blues. I'm saying the Hawks.
Yeah.
How about in the East? And you got, who do you have?
The Rangers.
You got the Rangers?
And I think the Rangers win the cup.
Okay. I've got the Caps. I'm not going to pick a cup champ yet. I think the Hawks can win the Cup. If I had to pick one right now, you're pointing a slingshot to my head or whatever. You know, we're not going to, you know, we're anti
bow and arrow.
Yeah, bow and arrow. There you go. Hawks. Okay, I'm saying Hawks. If I had to do that.
Call me a homer if you want. Now, if Minnesota could take out St. Louis.
That's an intriguing team.
All bets are off.
You think the Wild could?
Wild could do that.
Let's make party.
Let's make party. No question. By the way, Jeff Newitz just tweeted from Comcast Sportsnet.
Uh-huh.
What was the number one thing on TV last night? Among all adults during primetime, 7 to 10.
Chicago Fire rerun, 9 to 10.
Nope.
NBC.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Let's see. Tuesday night. Person of interest.
Nope.
Let's see. Tuesday night. What else is on Tuesday night? I'm drawing a blank. Let's see. Could it be The Voice?
No.
Little Blake Shelton.
No Voice. No Idol. No Dancing with the Stars.
Is the Idol still on? American Idol on Tuesday nights?
I don't watch that. Okay. I have no idea.
So what is it, Cap?
Chicago Cubs last night. Oh, number
shocking.
One in the entire Chicago market among all adults 18 to 49 from 7 to 10. Wow.
Well, you know, they're exciting to watch.
Let's make party.
Let's make party. They almost did. They almost did.
They battled back. How about that?
They did. They had two runners on in the ninth inning, and Starlin Castro's at bat. Goodness, is he talented. In the ninth inning, he turned. I know it was just a base hit, but it was a 99-mile-per-hour fastball.
It was good.
That he pulled into left field for a base hit. I think that he has a lot of reasons why people doubt him, but I still think he's worth keeping. Did you go through that over the weekend, Kep? I haven't talked to you since the whole Cup. I got some Twitter buzz, but some people were talking about Castro, getting mad at Castro again. What was the latest reason?
I didn't see the latest reason.
Okay. He's.
I remember they got mad at him opening night because Coughlin dropped that ball.
Yeah.
Castro should have had it.
Maybe.
No, it's the left fielder coming in.
Do the Cubs have a more professional hitter than Starlin Castro? Dexter Fowler, pretty good start. But do they have a more professional hitter?
I would have to say Castro's their best hitter right now.
I just think that you've got to appreciate what he brings and tolerate what he doesn't.
Addison Russell off to an over 300 start, by the way.
How about Chris Bryant?
He's hitting well, too. He's hit 2 home runs.
He's going to look great on Saturday.
I say it'll be Monday,
but
we'll
see. He's going to look great on Saturday.
We'll see. 312-235-2525 is the phone number. Also, good news on the Cleveland Indians front. Carlos Carrasco, who got hit in the face last night.
Yes, that was scary.
Scary.
8 pitches into the game.
They just announced he will start against the White Sox on Monday. He'll be skipped Sunday, start Monday.
Will Melky Cabrera start?
Interesting.
That has to be one of the best news stories of the day in sports, because you saw that happen and you worried that
it was brutal.
Oh, brutal.
Brutal. We were in doing Sports Talk Live. By the way, congrats to Mike Jacobson. Made a great TV
I heard.
Yesterday. He was very good.
I heard.
Very good.
What was the rating spike on that show for his appearance?
Enormous.
Jeff?
Number one, 1849 adults.
That's huge.
And women, it was like off the
off
charts.
Off the charts.
Let's make party. What was I just getting ready to tell you?
Something related
to... Oh, we were doing the show, and I had like, 90 seconds left in the show. And in my ear, Tom Cooper, our great producer, said, hey, wrap up Patrick Mooney right now. We got breaking news on the Sox game, lead to a line drive that hit the pitcher. So, Patrick, thanks, got to go right to the highlight. And it was never did I expect to see what I saw. Boom, right in the face. And thank God he's okay.
And he's starting Monday.
Crazy.
That is crazy. He's only going to miss one day in the rotation. That's good for everybody. It's
tough
good for
kid.
Baseball.
Yeah. Al in Missouri. Hey, Al in Missouri. What's going on, buddy?
Morning, Al.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Watch you every day.
Thank you.
Hey, quick question in regard to Vermette and Shaw. It seems that Lazzy and all the other expert pundits in regard to the Hawks always bring up the fact that Coach Q plays Vermette on a wing and Shaw at center when their natural positions are Shaw's on the wing and Vermette's in the center. And I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts or opinions as to why he flips them like that if their best position is center and wing. And I'll watch you guys and listen off the air.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, bud. Have a good day.
That's a good question. The only thing I could figure, Cap, is that I don't think that Joel that I've heard of has ever quite explained that specifically. I think he probably values the way that Andrew Shaw plays both ends as a centerman. And I think that he likes the way that he's active, the defense that he brings. And I think maybe he feels like I'd have to look at the faceoff numbers. Maybe he likes that as well. I don't know what he sees in Vermette as on the wing as opposed to center, which is why they got him. They got him to be that second line center that they've always, you know, wanted and eluded him, that Richards wasn't necessarily. So that's a very good question. I've never heard really Joel respond specifically to those two guys, but the only thing I could guess is related more to Shaw than is Vermette.
All right. We've got to take a timeout. Again, we're only here for another 40 minutes or so because we've got White Sox baseball pregame with Archuk and Bill at Comcast Sportsnet.
For John Danks. You okay with that? Johnny Danks bumping you.
Absolutely.
Your favorite Sox pitcher, I know.
He's got to step up today. Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in to App today, ABT. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. App, ABT. App pleasing people since 1936. Take a time out. We'd like to be participatory today. Phone lines open. 312-235.
Talk about Jameis Winston.
2525. We'll talk famous Jameis next.
You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
People always say, have you changed? And I tell them, no, I ain't changed. I just grown, you know. And one thing that hit me was that Clemson game when I got suspended for that game. Because I always was just, I enjoyed myself. Fun living and wanted to be one of the guys, but I realized I can't be one of the guys no more. And the Clemson game, I just seen my brothers on the field without me, and I'm sitting the bench. Every mistake that I have made in the past has helped me become a better man, you know, whereas with the crab leg situation or anything else, it just helped me become a better man.
That's famous Jameis, who's in our town right now. Jameis Winston of the Florida State Seminoles. Cap'n Haw continuing again here only till 10:30 today because of White Sox baseball.
Yes, he is in Draft Town, Draft Town, USA. I think that's the renaming.
See, they're
Chicago,
saying
right?
They're going to get 100,000 people at Draft Town.
I saw that. I think that sounds wildly optimistic to me,
yeah.
But maybe not. I saw the helmets. I saw the construction going on. I was, you know, diverted by it. I think everybody's going to be diverted by it. But yeah, Jameis is in town. Sounds like, I think there are two things in play here, Cap. I think you can say two things safely about Jameis Winston post Florida State and before the NFL draft that are consistent and fair. Number one, you got to give him credit. You've got to give the kid, and he's still a kid, credit for rehabilitating his image, working hard to be proactive, to repair the damage done by acts of immaturity and bad decisions. I think that he has done a tremendous job of making that effort. I think that he has realized that he had a lot of ground to cover. I think he's taken advice well. I think that he's getting good advice. And it sounds as if he has convinced a lot of people that he is ready to be an NFL quarterback, a professional athlete worthy of the trust they're going to place in him. I think that he has done as much as possible since the season ended and he became an NFL prospect. The Wunderlich news was very interesting to me. He scored, 27? 1 point lower than Peyton Manning back in the day. I think that people maybe underestimate his intelligence. Certainly his football intelligence has been...
Well, we talked about the Mariucci stuff.
Absolutely. So his football intelligence is... something that people have noticed, and this maybe documents, if you want, another type of intelligence. Okay, so I'm giving him credit. Okay, I can say that on one hand, because on the other, there's no way I would draft him. There's still no way I would draft him.
So he's there at 7.
There's no way I would draft him.
Okay, what if you work him out today at Halas? Mm-hmm. You get done. You're Ryan Pace.
And I don't know that they're working him out today. I think he's visiting, but I don't know that that includes a workout, does it?
I don't know.
I don't know that that's...
Well, let's just say that they did. Mm-hmm. He works out. You get done. You sit down in your office. You got three or four of your trusted confidants sitting there, and you go, wow. Okay, that guy is going to be a superstar in the NFL. If he's straight on the straight and narrow, that guy is the best quarterback prospect I've seen in 20 years. What if, I'm not saying you will.
Right.
What if you did?
Right.
And you say, we can get him.
Okay.
Would you do it?
No, because...
A lot of those conversations internal.
Better check the tape.
The biggest, most important word that you said in that, the way you described it to me, was if. If he stays straight, if he continues to make good decisions, if he has changed. Call me a skeptic. I am a skeptic when it comes to Jameis Winston. I'm not convinced that the last 3 months are anything but a blip. That I think that eventually, once he gets comfortable, he could revert to form. I think that the history of guys coming into the league who have a pattern of similarly bad behavior proves that, suggests that it's going to repeat itself once you're a professional. I have a hard time believing that we have seen the last of Jameis Winston's bad decisions. And if I'm picking in the top 10, a franchise-changing draft pick potentially, which is all those draft picks are, I don't have a lot of confidence, no matter how much he dazzles me today at lunch, in a workout, in a meeting, at the board. I don't have as much confidence that when the dust settles and he gets comfortable, that we're not going to see the same guy that we saw in Tallahassee. So I'd say no. I would say no. I know you fall in love with the idea.
I'm not saying I would do it either. But boy, oh boy. If... Only if
talent speaks
the scenario yourself. That I played out to you and you got done with the workout and went, wow.
You're Ryan Pace. You're 37 years old. You're a general manager for the first time. It's your first draft. You can't be wrong. You can't gamble.
You also can't leave a franchise quarterback who goes on to be a multiple Pro Bowler and go, we could have had him.
That's easier to explain, Cap. That's easier to explain than drafting somebody that ruins the franchise because of a series of bad decisions makes him a bust. Missing is always easier to justify than taking a guy that becomes a colossal failure, like Cedric Benson, for instance. That's, you know, you don't regret the ones you missed as much as you regret the bad ones you take. And I think that's the dilemma that Ryan Pace faces. It's a tough choice. I'm not going to sit here and say it's slam dunk, easy to see it from where I'm sitting because I'm never wrong and we're undefeated in this seat. It's a difficult decision, but I think that ultimately you're better served by going with somebody that doesn't have his track record of decision-making. Poor judgment.
You surprised he's here?
I'm a little surprised, yeah. I think that was one of those ones when Adam Schefter, I think, reported first that Jameis Winston was visiting the Bears. It caught your attention. You're like, interesting. What are they doing here? I think that they're covering their bases. I think that they are letting it be known to the rest of the league that they're looking for a quarterback, potentially, that they could be. They want people to think that they could move up. They want people to think that if they're there, that they would take him. So they increases their trade value. I think if the Bears are at 7 and either Winston or Mariota are still on the board, people say they like Mariota more. Maybe they would take him. I think that they would be better served trading down, accumulating assets, and letting everybody believe they need a quarterback so badly they would take him with number 7 and then get what you can, the best deal available. That's what I would do. But I'm a little surprised he's here. I think that, you know, it creates great theater.
Mariota.
I'm going to try to be consistent. I said at the beginning of the process that I don't think you go that route. I think he's still a developmental guy. He's probably what you hear from experts who have seen him in person a couple of years before he adjusted.
You know, Mayock just put him ahead of Winston.
I know he did. That was last week, and I respect the heck out of Mike Mayock. But I still think that he's a developmental issue and a project, and I think that you could go that route if you're the Bears, but I think you have too many other needs, and if you're there, you could either trade it or pick a guy that's going to make a difference for your defense.
All right, 312-235 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Your thoughts are next.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
He met with several people. The conversation was very candid, extremely candid. And I think this is a young man who understands his responsibility. And now it's up to him to look to that.
That's Roger Goodell talking about his meeting with famous Jameis when Jameis Winston on his own dime flew to New York, spent 4 hours with the commissioner. And I was surprised that Jameis' own attorney came out last week and said, not sure he's ready to be an NFL quarterback off the field.
Certainly that was damaging when his own attorney says that and reinforces the ideas of a lot of people like myself who think that too. The Roger Goodell meeting was a smart move again. Good advice Jameis Winston keeps
receiving. He's
followed
the playbook very well.
He has, and those are good optics. And that it's all about optics before the draft.
This is Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus. Again, we're out at 10:30 because of White Sox baseball pregame show
bumped
with our Chuck Garfine.
For John Danks.
Bill Melton. Johnny Danks knocking us off the air for the day. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
312-235-2525. Robert is in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
What's going on there, buddy?
Hey, what up, guys? I respect you guys so much. My question is, should the Bears trade Cutler to the Tennessee Titans and also the number 7 pick? But I look at it that if you trade away the number 7 pick, you're giving up maybe the studs and Amari Cooper and also Kevin White that can make the difference in the Bears' wide receiver core.
Well, you're paying attention to the draft, Robert. That's a good question, and thanks for making the phone call. Here's the thing. You're going to give up Jay Cutler to the Titans. You want to trade him? Of course you want to trade him. But do the Titans want to take on a contract that saddles you cap-wise for the next two seasons? Because the $10 million is guaranteed in 2016. Also, if you trade up to that number 2 spot to the Titans, and you're giving your number 7, Cutler, it's still going to cost you maybe a second rounder, maybe next year's first rounder.
Wait, to go from 7 to 2?
Yeah.
And what are you giving them?
Cutler, your 7th pick, and maybe next year's 1 or this year's 2.
I talked to a friend of mine who scouts in the league. I said, okay, Titans take Cutler and the 7, we get the 2. He said,
you're going to need more than that,
Cap. He said, you're going to have to give them this year's 3 and next year's 1.
Yeah, probably both. And I mentioned the second rounder because that could also maybe lessen your compensation and make you preserve next year's first rounder. Either way, for a roster this bare and general manager this new, I don't see that being a feasible alternative because I don't think the Titans would want to take on Cutler's contract anyway.
Look, Sonny Weaver gave up the 6 for the 7.
Yeah.
And he got 3 number ones at David Putney. So I don't think you're
and
getting.
And Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And a baby with Jennifer Garner.
Let's face it. But that was the real victory in draft day. But the other thing is that when you look at moving up to 2, the Titans are really in a situation to entertain a better quarterback coming their way. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers are at a very critical time deciding their future. And if that's a move that they make, boy, that would be really something for Phillip Rivers to go to the Titans and somehow Mariota to go to the Chargers, who worked him out in Oregon this week.
I read a great article in Nashville, I think Monday, where they said that privately the people around the Titans, Ken Wisenhunt and their football personnel people, believe Zach Mettenberger's the guy. They believe they can win a Super Bowl with Zach Mettenberger.
They should really keep that private then.
They said this guy's a stud. They believe they can go a long way with him.
I even think that hearing that, and I haven't read that, but the thought of developing Marcus Mariota versus trusting Zach Mettenberger and thinking you win a quarterback with him, I would take the former. I would develop Mariota. That's interesting.
Yeah, they believe.
And I think getting Phillip Rivers to be your quarterback would trump both those scenarios.
By the way, I called Paul Basir this morning from Prediction Machine.
Yes.
So in a little while after the break,
okay,
he re-ran the entire 50,000 games of the NHL playoffs
with
this
Patrick
morning,
Kane.
With Patrick Kane now back, because the Hawks were 8th among the 16 teams in odds to win it percentage-wise. He re-ran it. He just texted me.
Okay.
Go check the website, Cap. I just updated it. Made a bigger difference than I thought.
All right, we'll get to that after the break.
So after the break, I'll tell you where he has it. And the guy's very, very good.
He is excellent. He's the predictilator. I mean, he is excellent.
So
let's stick with some of these Bears calls.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones. How about James in Iowa City?
Hey, James.
James, jump off the combine. Talk some sports with us.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Oh, Cap, by the way, saw the show the other day. Love your movie taste, although you're getting some stuff for it. But
yeah, absolutely. You're the man, James.
But, yeah, anyways, so I was just thinking about the whole Jameis Winston thing in a league where you get a lot of bust quarterbacks. And, I mean, even if he is unreal or whatever, I just don't see a lot of guys change too much. Doesn't sound worth it.
So you would not take the risk, James?
I just don't think you can, especially in Chicago, and everyone hates Jay Cutler so much. Another guy like that sounds
polarizing.
Sounds like a mess.
Yeah. I'm with you, James.
James, thanks, man.
Thanks for phone call. Jamarcus Winston is someone I would probably not draft. I just don't. I think he's got bust written all over him.
Jamarcus Winston. I was like, Jamarcus Winston?
I knew what I was saying. That's the last number one quarterback drafted overall that was a huge disappointment. And while maybe Jameis Winston isn't going to be that guy, I think that he has enough red flags to make me wary.
312-235-2525. Russ is in Hickory Hills. Hello, Russ. What's going on there, Cookie?
Hey, Russ.
Hey, how's it going, Cat?
What's up?
You're a very knowledgeable person. What happened to Shelton from Washington, the defensive tackle they were so high on? This guy's falling like a rock when I watch the NFL mock draft.
Large rock.
Did he get some red flags?
Well, first of all, David and I talked about this last week. No player in the last decade that's run, I think, over a 5-1-40 has gone in the top 10 picks. He is not that athletic. He is not that quick. He is a good player, but they believe he would be there later in the first round. Agreed?
Agree, and I think that's why you have some enticing possibilities.
Thanks, Russ.
If you're sitting there at 7 and you do trade down, because some guys, like a Danny Shelton, might not be worth the 7th pick. But if you trade for a 19, for instance, and he's there at 19, maybe.
What if I told you you're trading for the 19 and you picked up an extra third and a fourth? And you go, got some extra.
Well, if
pieces.
if you're trading number 7, I think you can get two first round draft picks out of it. I think that's what you want to look
for. 7 for 12 and 19.
That would be terrific. That would be a terrific move.
Okay. What if I told you then with 12 and 19, you took Danny Shelton at 12 and Todd Gurley at 19?
Oh, that's an intriguing possibility. I think it's a little high for both guys, but I would be on board with that idea. I think I could – because also, Cap, you're talking about numbers, strength in numbers. You're talking about assets.
Look, Matt, we talked about this on the show yesterday. Would you give Matt Forte, who conveniently went on Instagram and Twitter and said, yeah, I'm working out, but down in Florida at Bonamart facility, would you give him a new contract?
No.
Okay. So if I told you on draft day
– and this is not a campaign that's going to begin or end with hashtag pay Forte. Okay, let me just predict that now. This isn't 2012, right? This isn't a running back who has been unfairly treated, underpaid, who is underpaid now. Okay. This is the guy with a contract that makes him the fifth highest paid running back in the league. Am I right?
Yeah.
And he's got a 1 year left on his deal.
Okay, what if I told you we could take the 7th pick, sprinkle some fairy dust on it like Sonny Weaver.
Of course.
Get 2 picks.
Yeah.
And then move Forte and get a 3rd-round pick, maybe a late 2nd. And all of a sudden now you got Todd Gurley as your running back. You're able to pick up Danny Shelton, and then you're able to add a couple more pieces like a good wide receiver. All of a sudden you're like, whoa, this is pretty good.
I'm not in favor of any scenario where you're trading Matt Forte.
All right. Well, let's see what Bobby in Glendale Heights has to say about that. Roberto?
Hey, David. Kaplan, I agree with
you.
What's up, Bobby? Hey, big guy. I agree with trading Matt Forte. He's been playing for 9 years. How many licks can your body take?
Not nine.
He's taking too many of them. So I would trade Matt, like David Kaplan said, and I would get Gurley, where Fox wants to run that ball, smash it in your mouth, play defense, get rid of him. He's been playing for 9 years.
Both.
He could get hurt.
Both, Bobby. You can have both. There's room for two. It's a John Fox backfield.
You can't. Listen to me. Yes. You got to get rid of Matt. Matt can't get 1 yard.
What have you done?
He can't run in between the tackles.
How soon?
He goes outside. Oh, he's been playing for 9 years, Dave.
You've been listening to Cap too long. He can get the tough yard.
No, correct. Get a young guy. We've had enough of him. I've had enough of Matt Forte.
Bobby.
How many bodies? Listen, I played ball. He's played for 9 years. He's ready to break down. Get something for him, guys. Honest to God.
Okay.
Move on.
Thanks for the phone call.
I'm with you,
thank you,
Bobby.
I'm not. I think that you have Matt Forte under contract for one more year. You can draft a rookie running back.
He's been
playing
for 7 years.
Exactly, not
this
nine.
This is his eighth season.
Let's not exaggerate here. There's no need.
Eighth season.
Not everybody has to be the cap man when you call. You don't have to exaggerate the facts.
All right, well, Jake in Orland Park agrees with you.
How about that? Jake's been on hold forever because said agrees with Haw. So
no,
cap goes to everybody
Mike,
else.
What did you say?
Goes to everybody
be
else.
Be honest, Mike. What did you say?
Well, I said go with the Forte call.
Because
logically.
Thank you.
When you're talking about Matt Forte and when somebody else wants to
Cap
talk about Matt
stays
Forte.
Away from the callers that are labeled agrees
I was
with
going Hall. To Jake.
He does.
I was going to
Jake. Good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm gonna back up Haw on two issues here.
Thank you.
I'm going to say that, Haw, when you were talking about Jameis Winston and saying that, you know, you always regret the ones you take more than the ones you pass on. You always hear Bears fans talking about Cedric Benson and David Terrell, but you never hear mentioning that they passed on a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So I agree with you there.
Bingo.
And I also agree with you with the Todd Gurley thing. He's been more injury prone over the last 3 years than Matt Forte has been, hasn't he, in college?
Absolutely.
And he's 6 years younger.
They wouldn't let him.
Listen to your answer.
He didn't want his knee examined at the NFL Combine. It was like, no, 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 no. You're not looking at my knee. It's too dinged up. You want to turn over your offense to a guy like that.
Obviously, if you're taking him, and we appreciate your call.
Yes, thank you very much.
Obviously, if you're taking him, your doctors have cleared him.
Okay.
What if Dr. Neuber says, Ryan, you're good here, man. He's good.
I think that's great. And you can have –
Todd Gurley's a monster.
Todd Gurley and Matt Forte, because John Fox likes to run two-headed monsters in the backfield.
So then I'm giving Matt Forte away for nothing next year because you're not giving him the extension.
I think that let's wait and see. Let's play that out. I don't know that you're going to get for Matt Forte. What are you going to get for Forte? You're going to just sacrifice everything in this upcoming season? I still think that you can groom a young running back, have one of the best in the league. When you have one of the best in the league at any position, why would you want to get rid of that guy? Certainly, I know you're talking about draft picks and their currency and all that thing. I can understand that argument. I just don't think you need to overreact to Matt Forte not being it. Or voluntary activities in March and say all of a sudden we're going to trade him.
I'm not trading him because of the voluntary activities. I'm trading him because he's got 7 years of mileage on him. I'm not going to give him the paper that he wants after this season, so I'm going to get something for him now and add a nice youthful
what are you getting? What are you
body.
Getting? What do you get? I don't know. I don't know that you're going to get
late second round pick.
Ah, boy. You're not going to get a second round pick.
A third?
Maybe.
What's less than a third, it's not worth
going
it for
rate
me to
for
give
Matt
it away.
Forte? I understand the logic. I understand the rationale. I just would not dangle my best offensive player because he is your best offensive player. He's your MVP right now. He's your MVP, Cap. It's not number six as much as you may want to promote him for that.
One of my buddies who is a Chicago police officer says, hey, boys, watching the show right now. Bears got to go defense across the board unless there's an unbelievable value at wide receiver running back. Current offense is good enough to compete. They need defense.
Well, I think a law enforcement officer promoting strong defense, I'm always in favor of that.
He's a good man. You know how I met him?
He pulled me over. Can you share those details?
Pulled me over. 312, we became buddies.
312, against the car, Mr. Kaplan.
312-235.
Don't smudge a Corvette.
25. Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop Apt. ABT. App.com. Pleasing people since 1936. The Predictilator has rerun the NHL playoffs with the return of Patrick Kane. Paul Basir just texted me the results. I will tell you how you could see them and what they are. Surprising. We'll be right back on Kavanaugh.
Tribune Tower Chicago. This is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Tune in weekday mornings for the best in Chicago sports coverage with CSN's own David Kaplan, Chicago Tribune writer David Haw. The Cap and Haw Show. Every morning at 9 a.m. on CSN Chicago.
Well, I don't know how David Haw carries Cap, but he does a phenomenal job of it.
Well, it's... he's starting to look it, too, you know. I saw David early.
That's a tough task.
He looks great.
That was opening day.
I didn't hear that.
I did not either.
That was awesome.
Starting to look it. I'm starting to look tired. That way I need a couple days off.
That's it.
I saw Hawk opening day, and it was tremendous. Just because he, I always enjoy seeing Hawk. And they enjoy so much of what they do. And it's never a complete trip to the park without seeing Hawk and Stoney.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. So the Predictilator, my guy Paul Basir. So I texted him.
I know.
And said,
you're
hey, man.
Very excited about this. Would I? Hold on. You texted him because you said he had seven teams
ahead
of the
Hawks.
More likely to win the cup than the Hawks. And I said, how does that happen?
So what he does is he plays every game 50,000 times. And then he just simply gives you the percentages. It's not like him being a handicapper, nothing. So he's got the New York Rangers percentage chance of the 50,000 games, 20.4% of the time.
Okay.
They're the most likely champion.
All right, that makes sense.
The second choice in the East is 11.4% of the time, the Tampa Bay Lightning win the cup.
All right, is that overall, Cap? So the Tampa Bay Lightning has the second highest chance of winning the cup?
In the East.
Okay, well, talk to me overall.
Overall, second most likely is the St. Louis Blues, 11.9.
Wow.
Tampa Bay is third, 11.4.
Okay.
With Patrick Kane in the lineup, the Hawks have gone from eighth to fourth, 10.3%.
That's impact.
And they're only the only four teams that are in double digits.
That's impact. Boy, a lot of love for the Lightning.
How about that?
A team that's fun to watch, a lot of offense, not a ton of playoff experience, but I like the Lightning. I don't know if I like them to win the East. I don't know about that. But
Lightning are pretty good, man.
I also have a lot of respect for the Predictilator. Been right before on a lot of things. Definitely doesn't lead with its heart. I'd say his or her.
The Predictilator.
We don't know if Predictilator is androgynous, right? It's like
correct.
The Predictilator.
He's Pat.
No, not he.
Or
he's
she. It.
It.
It's
That's
Pat.
Why I said it.
It's Pat.
The Predictilator.
I don't mean Pat Costell.
No.
I mean Pat from Saturday Night Live.
The Predictilator.
Can't tell.
Has no heart.
Correct.
The Predictilator looks at it simply the facts only, which makes me wonder, can you predict a champion with discounting everything else but statistics? No intangibles. Are part of this, right? He just plays the game 50,000 times. 50,000 times.
Puts in all his
50,000 anthems, 50,000 first period intermissions, 50,000 times. Whew, that's a lot.
It is. So he's got the Hawks there, so they moved
and
up
still,
a lot.
You're still hanging on to your I love the Blues logic. You got the Blues. Cappy's got the Blues.
I have the Rangers winning it. I have the
but
Blues.
You got the Blues winning the West.
I do. But I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I put my money where my mouth is. I bought my tickets. Also, the Heckler. You know what the Heckler is?
Yes.
The Heckler just announced the breaking news. Predators have vowed to arrest anyone who shows up to Game 1 in Blackhawks gear.
That's really going to be something. I'm wondering if they're going to televise the anthem. Because aren't the
Predators are going to ask all fans to sing the
now,
anthem.
Isn't that the dumbest thing in the world? Because look. Of all the cities that are going to do this, Nashville is going to be the one that's going to ask the fans to sing the anthem.
Right, some of the best singers in the world.
You have all this singing talent, all this musical ability in your own town. You could ask Carrie Underwood. You could ask whoever you want. You've got all this talent in Nashville. Raina James, fictional character, lead of Nashville. You could ask her to sing it. And you're going to ask the fans? That's nonsense.
Yeah, because you're intimidated by the Hawks. And let me give you your column for tomorrow. Are you writing on the Hawks tomorrow?
Indirectly, yes. Yes,
because
I am.
If the Hawks do indeed win, you could start your column by saying, from the moment they decided to have the fans sing because they were intimidated by the Hawks, they were intimidated all night long.
Hold on, let me get that. From the moment, okay. I know what you're saying. They're in their heads.
Right.
They're definitely in their heads. And if you're a franchise like the Predators, you want to do you don't want to get involved at all. I know what they're trying to do, but there's, you know, Hawk fans are, you can't be stopped.
Okay, so Monday.
This is silly.
Get this. The Diamondbacks have these $3,000 seats behind home plate. Mm-hmm. I think you can get this little, like, batter's eye.
I think I read something about this.
Box behind home plate.
Right.
And they have seats right behind the plate.
Okay.
You cannot wear any other team's gear. So they come down there and they go, yeah, Mr. Haw, you and your son, here are Diamondback hats and jerseys for you. But you can't wear the Cubs stuff.
Have you bought the ticket with your own money?
And then, so this guy was wasn't he ejected, Mike?
Yeah.
They made him change, and the one lady says the most humiliating experience of her life because they came to her seat and got made.
Remember that Seinfeld episode where Elaine wore the Orioles hat at the Yankees game?
Yeah,
that's great.
That's phenomenal.
That if you buy a ticket, you should wear whatever you want.
Completely agree.
Oh, do you?
Absolutely.
Think about this now. You agree with me? Because I didn't think you'd agree with me.
I do agree.
Okay, so if you go to work every day, mm-hmm. shouldn't you be able to work, wear whatever you want to, pretty much?
No, because I think a place of business...
If it's reasonable.
...can set for their employees a standard of code of dress code.
Hmm.
Like Blackhawks, all those guys
right.
and gals are
so
very
well dressed.
Explain
to me the difference.
That's John's rules.
Because I'm consistent. If you buy a ticket, you should be able to wear what you want. If you go to work, I think you should probably wear what you want within reason. But how do you explain your difference between advocating that someone should wear whatever they want, they sit behind the Diamondbacks thing, but if you are a construction worker at Wrigley Field and you happen to be from St. Louis, you better leave your Cardinal hat at home.
No, I said that the employer could set that message out.
But what's the difference?
I think it's Bonneville that owns the state, the mix. They can't wear jeans. No jeans allowed. And in radio, that's kind of unheard of. No jeans.
How about yoga pants?
Not on you.
Men have yoga pants.
Yeah,
they're not like the tight-fitting like the women's yoga pants. But yoga pants are comfortable. Don't tell me you don't have a pair of Lululemon yoga pants, because I know you do.
I don't have yoga pants.
Oh, you
I have
that
Lululemon
is a
pants.
Blatant lie.
I have
that is a blatant lie.
Those are yoga pants.
Well, hold on, I'm wearing a Lululemon shirt right now.
It's fantastic.
I have Lululemon pants, not yoga pants.
Well, okay. I know what you have. I have the same kind of. I think
they're just
pants.
They're just pants.
You'd wear them to yoga class.
I don't do yoga class.
Maybe you should consider that.
Maybe.
Anyway, what's the difference between that then? I mean,
because the employer
set the
dress code.
All the Wrigley Field construction crew has to have no Cardinals gear,
mm-hmm.
right? You're enforcing. I think it would be pretty humiliating to be sent home from work because you have a Cardinals T-shirt on. That's pretty silly.
Their bosses laid the law down.
Doesn't affect what job they do.
Doesn't affect the kind of radio Eric Ferguson does when he is not in jeans or is.
Was he complaining about this?
No, he just said it is what it is. He made the glue he makes. You don't have a problem with it.
I think he could afford some pants. And
do the show naked for what he makes.
Easy.
312-235-2525.
But you know what I'm saying? I just think, you know, just asking the question. But I think if you buy a ticket, you should be able to wear whatever you want.
All right, real fast before we get out of here because we got baseball coming up. John, welcome there, Cookie.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, John.
All right, make it fast. We got
to
go.
Yeah, get back to the Bears and Forte. I'd like to see the Bears get a fullback to run in front of Forte. Let's go back to Walter Payton. Who did he always say was the best player that he used?
Roland Harper.
Matt Sui.
And Matt Sui.
Yep.
We need a Matt Sui type of fullback in front of Forte.
Fullback's kind of, we appreciate the call, bud. has become a non-existent type guy.
And no,
very rare. John Kuhn in Green Bay.
They just brought him back.
Yeah.
They just brought him back for, I think, a veteran's minimum. I think he's a popular guy. The Bears eliminated the fullback.
What was the name of the guy we had? Cluster Butt. What was his name here?
Who?
Who's the guy we had?
Tyler Klutz.
Klutz.
Yeah, he went to Cluster Butt. I don't think I once heard him called that in the press box.
Clutterbuck. That's the hockey player. I mixed them up.
Cluster Butt. Oh, yeah, Tyler Cluster Butt. Yeah. Let's talk about him.
Yeah.
What do you know about him?
Tyler Klutz played for someone in the playoffs.
Tyler Klutz played for the Cowboys.
Yes.
I believe. He's a Fresno State guy. One of the very entertaining guys, engaging guys that have it in Bears locker room.
All right, we are out of here because of baseball today. Next week, we'll bring That's Whack Bro back. Big Z, sorry we couldn't get to you, buddy, but we are out of
time. Call
back
tomorrow.
Our Chuck and Bill Melton are coming up next with White Sox pregame.
Yep.
Top of the hour. Sox and Indians. Sox looking for their four straight. Get her done. We are out of here. Back tomorrow.
Back tomorrow.
We'll review game one.
Yep.
We'll talk about the Bulls playoff seeding because we'll know it.
Right.
So we got a lot to do, and the Cubs and Reds close out their series. So a ton to get done tomorrow.
And see how Jameis Winston visit went.
Absolutely.
If we know.
You have a great night. Go Blackhawks. Go Sox, Cubs, Bulls, all in action
today.
Go
Blues?
Go, no. I hope they get knocked out.
All right.
We'll see you. Take care.
All right. Well, see you later.